And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another week of the 9 to noon show. How are you keeping? How was your weekend, for that matter? Hope you had a good one, peaceful one. Great to have you with us for the start of another week, as I mentioned here. And it's just 3 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 13th of October. And our lines are open for you. So anything we've got lined up for you, if you want to give us a comment, please feel free to WhatsApp or text 086 60 25,000. Maybe there's an issue you want us to talk about, or maybe some good news you wish to pass on. You can call as well to 07491 25,000, or email comments@highlandradio.com. And of course, you can watch this program every single day on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland, or on Facebook and on the X platform. Let's see what's making some of the front and inside the papers today. We'll start with the Derry People, Donegal News, and calls are to be made for the opening of community centres to allow people to take refuge from their structurally unsafe homes during severe weather warnings. Storm Amy battered Donegal earlier this month, with the county recording some of the highest speed winds during the red weather warning. In response to Storm Amy, Donegal County Council arranged for the opening of a number of community-based emergency hubs across the county and coordinated a response with civil defence to provide essential services. Well, Councillor Thomas Sean Devine of the 100% Redress Party said Storm Amy was upgraded to a red alert warning with very short notice. He's expected to call on the MD to support him in his calls for the opening of community centres, clubs, when orange weather alerts are in place. Okay, so we'll see how that progresses there. On to the Derry News this morning, and First Catholic Chaplaincy opens at McGee Campus. A Catholic chaplaincy has opened at Ulster University's McGee Campus in Derry, the first in the institution's 160-year history. The chaplaincy formally launched on Tuesday, October 7th. Current chaplain Father Patrick Lagan said he had been very pleased with the turnout and engagement of the McGee students. On to the Nationals now. And of course, as you can imagine, the situation in the Middle East making most of the front pages. After more than 2 years, the last remaining hostages held by Hamas in Gaza were due to be released in the early hours of this morning. 7 have already been released, another 13 to be released shortly. Israelis have been celebrating in Tel Aviv's Hostages Square ever since US President Donald Trump announced the ceasefire. The excitement was palpable as crowds gathered last night ahead of live TV coverage. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a televised address to the nation, said today would be a historic day, the beginning of a new path, a path of building, of healing, and I hope a path of uniting hearts. Hamas confirmed yesterday it had located all 20 living hostages following a partial military redeployment by Israeli Defense Forces as part of the Gaza ceasefire. Hamas had not, however, located all 28 deceased hostages. And I suppose there's an awful lot goes on in these situations now. Hamas has called its leaders to action, effectively, because there is a fear now that there'll be internal issues within the area as people return to their places of residence, whatever's left of them or what have you. But of course, you do need a police force, don't you? And it's Hamas that's calling their people together to provide that. Now, the system is broken. That's according to the papers today, and it's the non-payment of TV licences. Convictions have plummeted in that regard. Convictions for non-payment of television licences have plummeted by 30% in the space of just 3 years amid the ongoing fallout from the RTE pay scandal. It comes as sales of television licences fell by 31% in 4 years, as opposition politicians warned that the current system is broken beyond repair. Ireland had 3,512 convictions for non-payment of television licences in 2022, with convictions falling to 2,917 in 2023. However, the court service confirmed to the Irish Independent convictions fell to 2,452 last year, down 30% in 3 years. So less people are buying TV licences, but there are less convictions for that. Is it a crime? Would you call that a crime for that? For not doing so, maybe it is a crime. Figures for 2025 are not yet available, but anecdotal evidence is that the overall rate of convictions continues to fall. So I think people either feel they don't have to pay the licence or they're not going to. Sinn Féin TD Piers Doherty warned that the combination of the ongoing impact of RTE's pay scandal and fluctuations in the fines and convictions relating to licence fee non-payment underlines the fact that an overhaul of the entire system is now imperative. The system is broken. One third of households do not pay the television licence, and up to 9,000 people are dragged before the courts for not paying it, he said. What does that look like, though, a new TV licence system? More and more people, and especially young people, are watching TV different ways now. They're not watching scheduled TV as much as they might have in the past. You know, young people now, they watch the streaming platforms, they watch TikTok, they watch YouTube, they watch highlights of stuff. They're not sitting down and watching TV. So what are you actually billing them for? You know, they're not consuming the news on the television as such, not in the numbers that once did. So what does a new system look like? It is effectively to pay for RTE, if the truth be told. Now, there is some redistribution to some extent now, with independents getting a small fraction of it, but overall the vast majority of it is to maintain RTE. And I suppose it's easy to say, well, you don't need RTE, or do you? I don't know. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. The Irish Daily Mail reporting on the presidential election. Presidential candidate Catherine Connolly was scrambling last night to explain her claim to be pro-European Union after being unable to recall any instance where she supported EU treaties. Fine Gael candidate Heather Humphreys sought to create a wedge with voters on the issue, claiming in yesterday's RTE debate that Ms Connolly voted against every European treaty. Ms Humphreys said the independent candidate would damage Ireland's diplomatic efforts, stating, you insulted our allies, France, UK, Germany and the US. Go to page 4 here. That doesn't go without consequences. How are you going to talk to them? Will they want to talk to you? You've insulted them. That being said, I think certainly in our part of the world, being kind of anti-EU treaty might not be the worst thing for your candidacy. I'm not sure being pro-Europe is necessarily a prerequisite of being president of Ireland, or is it? I don't know. What do you guys think? On to the red top tabloids now, and really very little in them, to be honest with you. A rare ocean sunfish has been found washed up on the beach off the coast of West Donegal, though. It was discovered by friends at walking over the weekend at the Back Strand in Falkara. The dead fish, which has a disc shape, was spotted by pals Mary Doherty and Adele Patton. Ocean sunfish, which can weigh up to 1,000 kilograms when fully grown, are native to tropical and warm temperature waters around the world, but not normally seen around here, but this one found its way up there. It's certainly not, this one's not 1,000 kilograms anyway, but still an interesting find. If you're a multitasker, be extra careful, according to the Irish Daily Star, because multitasking makes people significantly more likely to fall for online scams. This according to a new study. Email users are at greater risk of becoming victims of phishing when they are trying to do two or more things at once. Professor Jinglu Zhang, said when people are overloaded, their ability to notice suspicious cues drops. So if you're all over the place and your computer isn't at home, be extra vigilant, because apparently you're prime for the scammers. And by the way, you know, everything's getting smaller now. If you look at the size of a chocolate bar at the counter, it's tiny compared to what they once were. And of course, your biscuit tins, they're getting smaller, and your boxes of sweets, they're also getting smaller, or they appear to be getting smaller. Well, they are getting smaller, effectively, because Nestle has cut an average of 5 sweets from their quality street Christmas selection boxes this year. The popular tubs have been reduced to a weight of just 550 grams. That's down 50 grams. And that's a 29% fall since the plastic versions were first introduced in 2013, and at €7 in most supermarkets, the price is also at a record high. Less sweets, more price. You're not going mad. The boxes are getting smaller. The amount of sweets are getting smaller. So there you go. £7, though, for a box of sweets. They could be shooting themselves in the foot, though. I think. All right, that was a run through some of the stories making the papers today. Anything in there catch your ear? If you comment, have you a comment on any of that? The lines are open for you, of course, for all of your correspondence. 086 6025000. WhatsApps and texts that number. Or if you choose to, you can give us a call on 074 91 25000. Councillor Jack Murray joins me on the programme now. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg.
We're speaking to you off the back of some contact you've had from people over the weekend with fireworks being thrown at them. Now, this is wrong on so many levels. These are highly illegal to be found in possession of, but incredibly, incredibly dangerous to be used in any fashion that's not controlled, but to use them as weapons or throw them at people's crazy.
Yeah, the fireworks are small explosives. They're extremely dangerous, and there's very, very strict laws in Ireland because of that. I was contacted by a man who's up Buchanan Main Street on Saturday night around 8 o'clock, and there was fireworks. They weren't actually being thrown. They were being held and fired horizontally from an area known as Japs Lane, fired across the street. I just missed this man and his young daughter, who was obviously extremely shook by that. I know that there was a disabled lady who had been trying to cross the road at the same time, just missed her, and there was a family of tourists nearby as well, very, very shook by it. I also was contacted by a lady up around Mulberry Avenue, the Meadows area. There was a group of about 20 young people firing fireworks, and she'd advised her young daughter was too scared to leave the house, even to call up to meet her friends because of what was happening. So, look, I know that Halloween is a time where you get up to mischief. I did it myself as a kid, but we need to have some consideration for people. This type of intimidation and extremely dangerous behaviour needs to stop. People need to have a bit of cop on and think about what they're doing. But there also be consequences for themselves. The guards have been contacted about this. There's been video footage recorded of those responsible, and the guards will be looking to get them. And as you said yourself, there's very strict laws on fireworks, and there could be a hefty penalty for anybody caught in possession, and particularly those who are using them in a very dangerous manner. So, look, they might have had their fun this weekend, but they need to stop now because it'll end up coming on themselves if they get arrested by the guards.
Yeah, and I suppose we as sort of parents and guardians and grandparents really need to make sure that they know how dangerous and also how illegal this activity is, dependent on their age, of course. Maybe they're well aware of that, but, you know, it's well worth, I think, having the conversation in the house.
Yeah, look, and I'm sure it's dangerous. They mightn't realise just how strict the laws are. Possession of fireworks can carry a fine of up to €10,000, or can even lead to imprisonment. So, look, they need to step back from this. As I said, we all got up to mischief when we were kids, but this is very, very serious for serious behaviour and comes with a very, very serious penalty. So, they need to take stock of what they're doing, have the impact that they're having on their own community. But, look, there's consequences for themselves too, and I'd be warning them to be very mindful of that. And the guards will be out over the Halloween period and the build-up to it. They will be patrolling. As I say, there was video footage recorded of those responsible, so that's in the possession of the Gardaí now. So I think it's time now to take stock and just stop this activity.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously thinking on mostly for those who these were fired at. But, I mean, someone's going to end up in the ED with the hand off them. It happens every single year, right across the country, where people return to fireworks that haven't lit correctly or whatever it might be, with fingers missing and all manner of damage done, eyes lost. It happens every year.
Yeah, look, there's strict laws on this for a very good reason. These are small explosives. They're extremely dangerous. As you say, you can blow your fingers off, you can take an eye out. Look, much worse. Like, it's extremely, extremely dangerous, and that's why they are so strictly regulated. So, look, people can get, they can get them, they go into the area and they can get them, but they need to realise just the danger of what they have. Look, people have been very seriously injured in Buchanan from fireworks in the past, so I'm sure they'd be able to tell them of the dangers of it. But, look, for many, many reasons, they need to stop this activity.
You say the guards are aware of it. The guards are aware of it. There is video footage of those alleged to be responsible. They'll continue their investigations in that regard, of course. But the guards obviously will be out and about patrolling as they normally are, and will be taking this very seriously.
Absolutely. And look, and I'll be liaising with the Gardaí. Anybody that contacts me, I'll be relaying that information to the Gardaí. Look, we don't want any young people to get arrested or their futures to be destroyed by this. But look, they need to reflect themselves and stop. Just stop. Look, there'll be no consequences. They just stop doing it. And look, it's for the good of our community. It's good for everybody in it. Look, with the Buchanan is thriving at the moment. We've got the Nighttime Economy Initiative is bringing people to the town. We're going to have a Halloween parade just before Halloween. It's fantastic. it's a great time to be in Buchanan. Everybody will enjoy this Halloween period, so we shouldn't tarnish this or bring it down in any way. Just look, let's all enjoy it together and have fun together.
All right, good stuff. Councillor Jack Murray there. Any other instances, or was that isolated to Buchanan at the weekend? Let me know. 086 60 20 5000. Liam was in touch via email. In the Irish Times last Friday, Justin McCarthy pointed out that Jim Gavin is still on the ballot paper and could theoretically win. In that crazy case, she points out, or Justine McCarthy, I beg your pardon, in that crazy case, she points out that Article 12.3.3 of the Constitution could apply, requiring another election to be held within 60 days if a president-elect resigns before the inauguration. This raises an interesting option for voters not particularly enthusiastic about the remaining two candidates. Vote Jim Gavin for a replay. That's according to Liam, and indeed that's something we discussed on the show long before last Friday, and I'm surprised it hasn't sort of gathered more of a pace as something of a protest. Morning, Greg. I wonder if I can raise an issue with you. Of course you can. As a regular walker at Ballymastocca Beach, Warden, Port Salem, I'm extremely concerned about the ongoing environmental disaster that's occurring to the sand dunes there. The dunes are regressing at an alarming rate. I estimate that the dunes have gone back as far as 20 metres in the last 2 years. I flagged this matter last year with Donegal County Council, but they never responded to me, and I've attached pictures for reference. Greg, in my opinion, there needs to be an urgent assessment carried out on this matter. My fear is that if action is not taken immediately, we risk losing what's left of the dunes this coming winter, and that would be a tragedy, to put it mildly. And I did see those pictures, and there is indeed quite a lot of regression there. We'll make our own inquiries with the council as well to see what their plan of action, if any, is. I'm not sure. Can you hold back everything? I don't know. Well, anyway, but I'm not in any way sort of brushing over your concerns. You have to have NCT yearly for safety, says a listener, yet most collisions are caused by inexperienced young drivers. There should be an annual resit for all teenage drivers who commit offences, believes a listener. Okay, that's one suggestion. On the issue of scam calls, I got scam calls, or I get them all the time, but they can name me by full name. Now I'm afraid if they might be a legitimate call, how do you know the difference? Well, if you are, when we talk about things being leaked, you know, you do get a situation where often your name and number can be leaked, you know, if there's been some sort of an attack on a system or other. So that doesn't mean anything, really, that they know your name. It doesn't mean anything about its legitimacy. But I suppose just tease it out more with them, you know, and find, say you'll ring them back. Take a number and say, I'll call you back, but actually use the official number. Right. I've lived in Mahramelin, says a listener. It's beautiful. The road was supposed to be tarred, but they haven't tarred it at all. They haven't tarred it all. They should have tarred Mahari Crossroads down to Mahramelin. They've missed the most dangerous part of the road. Don't know what's going on there. If you know, let me know. 086 60 25000. Right. Now, Anne-Marie McDevitt, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay, thanks. Yep.
Yeah, I've heard about this. This comes up time and time again, and it really has changed my attitude to sticking the dishwasher or the dryer on, to be honest with you. You had an incident with your dishwasher recently. Tell us what happened, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, I did, yeah. And like yourself, it's changed my attitude massively too. It happened last Wednesday night. I was just squaring around in the kitchen, you know, the final kind of clean down before settling down to watch Celebrity Traders, which was the first night of it. And I had to put the dishwasher on. And so I was in the kitchen. The dishwasher was only on about 5 minutes. And I was standing virtually next to it, doing a few other bits and pieces. And just out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw steam coming from the top of the dishwasher out through the top door because it was one of the integrated units. But then I looked and I realized it was smoke, which was quickly turning into black smoke.
Which obviously was far off a fire at that point then.
Well, see, this is it. I shouted to my husband. He came in and the kids came in. Ariel and Troy came in. And so he back slightly. And that was when we realised that it was actually on fire.
And how did you deal with that fire?
Sorry?
How did you deal with the fire? Because it's an integrated unit, isn't it? And it's, sorry, the sound, you're switching between hands-free and non-hands-free, I think, and it's a bit confusing.
I am. Sorry, yeah. I do apologise for that.
No,
sorry.
No, that's all right.
So basically, yeah, so basically what happens then, he pulled the door back and the flames were starting to come up. It was the actual control console that was on fire.
Ah.
So we closed the door, and this is when I am highly embarrassed to say we don't have a fire extinguisher in the house. We don't have a fire blanket in the house. And so we shut the door and we're thinking, right, okay. So my mind was thinking, well, the only thing that we can do here is to let this, not rather let this get out of control, is to start to smother the fire the best that we could. So I got a damp towel and opened it up nice and handy. Flames were coming out of the top of the console and I put the damp towel on it and started my best way, I suppose, to try and smother it. So Gary has a cousin, Noel McDevitt, who is in the Glen Column Kill Fire Service, and he called him to say, basically get a bit of advice. What do we do in our situation where we don't have any fire extinguishers or fire blanket? What should we do? And Noel said, do what you're doing. He said, the objective is exactly that, smother the fire the best way you can. So the kids, my son and daughter, Ari and Troy, they then started dampening down a few more towels because I realized then I could feel the heat coming through the towel that I initially put on. My hand was on it. So basically every good towel in the place got dampened and they started coming with towels. Now, Gary works in the Ashland Centre in Kilcar and he knew exactly where the fire extinguishers, the relevant ones, were going to be. So he left the house to run down to the Ashland, which is like 2 minutes from where we live, to get a fire extinguisher. So what was happening then, though, Greg, was any little bits that the smoke could come out of, the smoke was coming out of, and it was black. So between myself and the kids, we were basically had this little towel pyramid on, or a barricade, to try and get the smoke to die down. But the house was filled, the kitchen was filled with smoke, and my smoke alarm, which would go off if I made a slice of toast, didn't go off.
Wow.
I was gobsmacked. Yeah. So within a few minutes after that, the two lads, Noel, came out from Glen Column Kill. Fair play to him, because it's good to have somebody, you know what I mean, to have a little bit of backup, you know, in a situation like that. And then Gary landed back. But at that stage, I had pretty much got the fire out. But the place was riddled with smoke. The smell was desperate. And the door was, like, pretty badly scorched. The console at the top of the dishwasher had melted. But yeah, that was the situation we were in. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. And like yourself, would have left the dishwasher on at night, would never have left the house with the dishwasher on. But the amount of people I relayed this story to who have said exactly the same thing back to me, they don't have a fire extinguisher in the house, and they would have left the house and left the dishwasher on. So I suppose we're all kind of guilty of it, but my attitude has really changed.
Yeah,
really changed.
This was a concern I've expressed in the program before, Anne-Marie, about, you know, cheaper electricity at certain times, like overnight with smart meters and all that type of stuff. And the temptation would be to put the likes of the dishwasher or the tumble dryer on and go to bed. I mean, have you allowed yourself to imagine with the fire alarm not going off, if you would have done that, this would have happened? You know, you don't want to think about it, right? But I mean, it's impossible not to.
I know. I mean, you're 100% right. We're all kind of drawn towards that cheaper electricity because it's expensive. And the other, if we weren't in the house, it would have resulted in a house fire, undoubtedly. I mean, I was standing next to it, Greg, and it went on fire. Like, within minutes, I realized it was on fire, and we were working on it. So you can imagine, even 10 minutes, like, the units in the kitchen were all on fire, definitely, you know?
Mm-hmm. And which bit went on fire? I suppose it depends on, is it where you input the cycle and all that type of stuff?
Exactly, yeah. So that control console, you know, the bit at the top when you open the door.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say...
Is it on the door?
Is
yours on the... Go ahead. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It's at the very top of the door.
Okay,
you know, you've got your integrated unit where the actual kitchen unit is basically attached to the dishwasher,
yes,
if you like. So it's all
course.
Flush with the other units. And this dishwasher, you're going to laugh, was actually 18 years old now. And the thing is, I know it's very old in comparison to, you know, but I mean, it went in at the time we built the house, but it never gave any indication that there was anything wrong with it. It never stopped working. It never, nothing. It didn't give any bother, just went straight for the jugular and went on fire.
Amazing. But I don't think its age is a factor here because... It was an electrical fault, and you could have an electrical fault in one you put in yesterday, but it really is scary to think about
it.
And it's counterintuitive, isn't it? Something that uses water going on fire, but we see that with washing machines and dryers. I wouldn't put them on. I'd be more inclined to put them on if I was leaving the house, although I don't really do that much, but I'd be very unlikely to put them on overnight, even if the electricity is cheaper, because I just don't trust them. We were doing a one of these sort of, you know, get the message outs with someone from the fire service, and they themselves had a dishwasher that went on fire and wouldn't dream of using it at night. So
yeah, it's nuts. It does really make you think. And I suppose in the run-up to Christmas as well, when people are having a lot of extra lights around their house and stuff, and some of the lights that you buy with either Christmas lights or Christmas tree lights, a lot of them, I suppose, they're massively manufactured. You know, they might not be as safe as we think. And, you know, when you come home at night and you see a lot of people with Christmas lights on all night, now that's something that has always baffled me, and it has always made me nervous and worried. You know, I would never, ever do that. But, like, since this, and I mean, you know yourself, mobile phones, I mean, the chargers are all little bits of plastic. There's, like, a massive tendency for these things to go on fire, you know. But the dishwasher one, I have to say, absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah, and you recognise yourself, as a caller points out, that you shouldn't use wet towels. But I mean, if the power has been cut to the if the power has been cut to the dishwasher and you've got advice and it's the only thing to stop your house going on fire, we know it's not ideal, but you'd reduce the risk of electrocution.
Exactly.
So, but it's no harm to remind people you wouldn't do that if the dishwasher was still plugged in, of course, and still taking power.
Not at all. Because I was second guessing myself with exactly that, thinking, well, should I put a damp towel on this or should I not? And I thought, well, there's no electricity coming to it, but there is flames coming up. So the only thing I can try and do is smother this the best way I can. Yeah. And it did work. But your caller's, your person who's texting there is exactly right. I wouldn't normally have done that. And if I had a fire blanket, you know, as I say, I'm an idiot now. And I have two of them ordered on order and fire extinguishers, you know. It could have been too little too late,
but I'm sure a lot
of people listening in are in the same boat
100%.
As me that don't have...
The thing that's slightly more concerning is, and to get to the bottom of, is why the fire alarm didn't trigger, because you say burning toast would set it off.
Exactly.
That's kind of concerning, because we do rely greatly on those, don't we?
100%, totally. Yeah, it was an episode that, you know, when we got through it, we're all kind of four of us looking at each other, thinking, did that really just happen? You know, and the smell of smoke, I mean, is rotten. And now we're at the stage we have no dishwasher. And I was laughing at my son yesterday, and he's like, this washing up carry on is terrible. When's the new dishwasher coming?
Well, so kids like, will be kids. He was born. He was born with one. The dishwasher is probably twice his age or something.
This is the thing. He's 18, so he only knows dishwashers.
Okay, so he's as old as the dishwasher, all right? Then so, when are you on the radio next time, right?
Yeah.
When are you on the radio?
I am
next?
On Saturday night
at 11, isn't it?
I am on Saturday night at 11 until 1 a.m. Yeah,
brilliant.
Love
stuff.
It. It's a great show. I love it. There's some amazing listeners. And I really appreciate them.
It's great to have you on board here too. Thanks, Anne-Marie. That's Anne-Marie McDevitt there, who obviously recounting her electrical fire with her dishwasher, but listen, there's no shame in that game about not having a fire extinguisher, not having a fire blanket. I'm going to have to go shopping, right? Because I don't have one either. Just to back Anne-Marie up, probably should, but I don't. Sorry. But also often we get the house alarm or we get the cameras when, you know, someone's been around the house or burgled or what have you. And it's just allowing us to learn off Anne-Marie's mistake. Do we have the appropriate fire extinguishers or a fire blanket in the event of something like this happening? As it relates to the fire alarm too, that's pretty concerning, isn't it? So just a wee bit of advice, and thankfully they're all safe and sound, and we're able to limit damage to a minimum. But that being said, Anne-Marie happened to be in the kitchen at the time of the fire. Okay, so that was an advantage there. But never put a wet towel, as a listener points out, on electrical fire, because obviously that would conduct any electricity that was shorting. In this case, Anne-Marie had cut the power, but find an alternative is the advice there. And I appreciate the listener pointing that out as well. Any similar stories to that? You know, let's help get the message out to other people as well, because, you know, one person's experience can be a lesson learnt for them, but maybe even a lesson learnt for all of us. Anything similar or in the same space? 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Okay, we're back after the break, and on to your comments before we are joined by our next listener. In relation to shopping local, people are being urged to shop local. We've never had more houses to be built, especially with the defective concrete block crisis. I know that a lot of developers go to the north to buy materials so they don't have to pay VAT. Why can't our local developers shop local and support local jobs? We're told not to criticise developers, yet they don't support local. Well, it's a broad stroke of a statement there, I suppose. I'm not sure why people might buy materials in the north or what's going on there. But anyway, that's a caller asking them as much as they can to shop local. What is the story with hedges in the middle of the road where cars have to go to the wrong side of the road? On Sunday, I cut a lot of hedges myself because it's not safe for cars. Don't know what the story is there. The roads that I would tend to travel, and I don't want to be selfish about this, would have had their hedges cut for the most part. But I don't know, is it the landowner, is it the council? Do you have to lobby your local rep to get your road hedges cut? I'm not 100% sure. Councillor Paul Canning is the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. And listening, Paul, to Anne-Marie's experience there with the dishwasher, quite troubling. But there are fireproof dishwashers and washing machines, are there?
Not really. No, there is some of the, in particular, your oil burner would have fireproof covering on it, but washing machines, tumble dryers, and that. So my advice to people and anybody that I do work for, I kind of tell them this, that whenever a person is paying X amount of euros for a kitchen, that they speak to the kitchen person and fireproof the area that they're putting the washing machine or the tumble dryer right. or the dishwasher under, because whenever you have it in a closed kitchen and you have it looking like the kitchen, it's very difficult to get into where the actual fire starts. So, I, you know, my advice is just fireproof that square that your area is in, you know, and that'll slow it up. It'll not prevent it, but it'll slow it up till you get a hold of it, you know.
And what does that look like? Is it like that a material that you would sort of line around the inside of the
same
space,
as your,
is it?
It's a foil-backed insulation, you could say. It's not unlike your wool, the wool that you use for insulating your attic.
Uh-huh, I've seen
It's a thin layer of that with a foil back on it, which is, you know, it doesn't, it's not cumbersome, it's easy enough to hide, you know, but it would prevent the fire spread, so it would.
Mm. But as I said, Samarie, it's worrying, isn't it? Because a lot of these items are the type of items maybe people might switch on at night to try and save a bit of money, depending on, you know, their electricity package with the smart meters now. But I don't think there's any saving that is worth the risk.
Yeah, and the situation, there's some of those elements, like including your fridge as well, and I don't want to scare people. Mm. There's some of those elements get into serious heat, but it's just that there's nothing there that is flammable within it's all metal. But if you were to put your hand in behind a fridge and touch some of the elements that's in there, absolutely, you know, serious heat often. You
so
know,
the irony is it takes...
Not knowing that, like,
yeah, exactly. It takes heat to generate the cold. The same with your dishwasher, mm-hmm. your washing machine, and of course dryers particularly, because they can have that, it's like a tinderbox effectively on the door of the dryer if you were to leave that on too long. I think we just have to double check we've got all the right gear. Is there any...
Well, that's it, you know, and I would say moving forward, I would, you know, in the next few years, I would say there will be a scenario now where the fire, that you are going to have to fire cert a lot of private dwellings as well. You know, it's going to be it's going to matter, because we do it for commercial buildings. So why not do it for the private dwelling that you're actually sleeping overnight in? So, you know, and those elements anyway, I would advise people to look at when they are getting their, when they're going to their kitchen manufacturer, to actually speak to him, to even to put in a wee bit of fireproofing.
Not a bad idea.
The wash machine, yeah. The tumble dryer, and that, you know.
Buy you a bit of time, as you say. And there, in terms of new builds now, there's no fire regulations, there's no obligation, is there, to have a fire extinguisher or a fire blanket? Obviously, listen, and we're going to get one now, trust me, but there's no obligation to have one.
If you're renting your property,
right?
There is a regulation there. If you're renting the property and it's under the RTB board, now there is now within building control, there is their advice given. It's not, you know, the nonsense. It's not hard and fast, but there is advice given on what you need to do to protect your home.
Yeah.
But that needs to, that sort of needs to become stronger in relation to saying off buildings.
Okay. Listen, good advice. As you say, it's not going to prevent a fire, but certainly might slow it down to give you an opportunity to gather your thoughts and gather your things and get out if you can't control it yourself. Paul, thanks very much for your time. Councillor Paul Canning there, Cathaoirleach of the Council. Following that discussion, a good idea would be to buy someone a fire blanket or a fire extinguisher for Christmas. Not the most exciting thing to be unwrapping on Christmas morning. Oh, a fire extinguisher, thanks. But that being said, on reflection, it would be very useful. You're not going to get more useful a present. I just don't know if I would get too excited. Fire alarms have an expiry date on them. If you look at the side of the fire alarm, it will show the year it has to be replaced by. Aldi have fire extinguishers in now and again. I bought two, one for the house and one that is in the car. That's interesting. A fire alarm in the car. Right, okay. But anyway, it is not common knowledge, I think, though I did happen to know it, that fire alarms do have an expiry date. I presume it's whatever material reacts to the smoke, probably deteriorates. But anyway, good advice there, good advice. And there's lots of, if they come on sale in Lidl or one of those places. You know, a lot of the hardware stores, etc., have good value fire alarms that are there. And if you don't have them or if they need replaced, I wouldn't be waiting for a special buy, so to speak. And that's with no disrespect to the listener there. A final call, I suppose you could say, for people to get involved in the establishment of the Malin Glengad first responders. And Ali Farran, Councillor Ali Farran's with me in this regard. Good morning, Ali.
Yes, good morning to you, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. And there's been a bit of a theme in this hour of, safety in the home, safety in the community. And, you know, everywhere you turn, you will speak to someone for one reason or another who've had a first responder in their house or in their community. They're so, so vital. And you're looking to plug that gap in the Malin Head area. So where are we at now? There's a meeting tonight, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there's a meeting next Monday.
Oh, is it next Monday?
Reaching out to Highland Radio for, Greg, is that, you know, people say, I didn't hear about this meeting and I didn't, you know, not everybody's on Facebook or social media and not everybody reads the paper and not everybody listens to Highland Radio either, to be fair. But so we're trying to cover the area as best as we can. Let everybody know that next Monday night we're having a public meeting again. The idea behind this, it's not the Malin Head or it's not the Glengat, it's the Malin Parish First Responder Group. Because when we get it up and running, it's the same admin for a small area as it is for a big area, and it'll be the same training that'll be needed, and it'll be the same fundraising that'll be needed to get the stuff up and running. So, yeah, our meeting's next Monday night in the Glengad Community Centre, and with the help of Highland Radio, I'd be very grateful if we get a mention so that people know it's on and to attend. Not everybody might want to be a first responder, but they might have an ability that they could help in some other way. It could be the administration of the scheme. It could be, you know, the fundraising. So there'll be a position for everybody who'd like to come, but it's important that people come because, we've had fairly good attendances at the last two meetings, but we haven't been to Glengad yet, and we want to be totally inclusive for the whole parish. and we would hope that we'll get a crowd next Monday night.
And when established, it and all the training and everything has been done, this would allow local trained responders to get to an emergency call to hopefully provide assistance in that important window when someone might need it until such time as the ambulance service actually arrives.
Yes, and at the moment we have three or four first responders groups in any showing as it is, but there's nowhere farther away from Letterkenny probably in the county than Mallon and the Mallon Parish. So although we have an ambulance station in Cairndonagh, sometimes there mightn't be an ambulance. Sometimes there, you know, you could have to wait a while, and if we have people on the ground that can get there faster, it could save a life. It could be your life or your mother or father's life, and that's why we need people to come on board.
When do you hope to have it up and running?
Well, the first meeting will be the first admin part has to be done first, and then we have to get the responders up gathered, and then we have to get them trained. Then we probably have to coincide with that, there'll be a bit of fundraising. We'll probably do the Christmas swim this year, might be done in aid of it or something like that. And, you know, hopefully early next year would be the ideal scenario, or whenever next year. You know, at the moment we have nothing, so anything will be better than nothing.
RITO. So that meeting now, as you say, it's in the Glengad area. It's in the Glengad Community Centre. It's next Monday night at 8 p.m. with an aim to establish a Mallon Parish First Responders Group. And as Ali's been pointing out there, not everyone might want to be a first responder, but there are jobs for everyone who wants a job in terms of admin, etc., and so on and so forth. Right, so that's that. Before I let you go, you'll be backing your party colleague, Charles Ward, won't you? He's calling for, and your colleague, sorry, in the council, in relation to the opening of community centres in an orange wind warning to accommodate defective concrete block victims, if you could say. Do you think that's a worthwhile motion? It's important, is it?
Some community centres might be suitable for that, but some might not be. Like where we are at the moment, if the power goes off in Mallon Head, the chances is my community centre is off as well. Mm. We don't have the, you know, a generator to keep everything up and running. So while it's in certain areas it might work, and some other areas it mightn't, but it needs to be probably considered, because like during Storm Amy, my house was fairly shaky, to say the least. It wasn't the safest place in the world to be, whereas this, the bulk of this community centre is built in 2012.
What's it like in the house during the storm? What you know, is it the whistling, is it the rattling? The windows sort of...
Well, every window, or most windows in my house, can't be opened at the moment. Yeah. They're twisted and warped. And every, you know, surrounding all the windows and doors, are the concrete's cracked. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of wind, there's a lot of air. And of course, in a big storm, it's more scary. But then also, you know, you do hear gravel falling down the cavity wall of your house when you know, so it's not something, it's the reality of living in a defective house, but it's not something that I would like to say to my wife every turnabout, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Because the last thing you want to do is create more anguish, would that be the right word, for people living in the houses. But the reality is the houses that we're living in at the moment are not safe for a lot of people. And there will be, unfortunately, a disaster somewhere along the line. And
it's astonishing.
You know, that's one of the good things about, you were asking me, am I supporting Charles Ward? Of course I'm supporting Charles Ward. But there's a motion in front of the Dáil this week, and you probably know all about it. But like, this is about, people think in Dublin, and the reality is that this scheme is designed in Dublin. It's been managed ultimately in Dublin, and they don't have a bloody clue, if the truth be told. They think it's sorted, and if you listen to the national media now, although they had a piece on RTE during the weekend, there was a piece I think in the Irish Independent, ultimately most of the people in Dublin think we're sorted, it's good, and the reality is it's far from sorted. And the motion that Charles is putting in this week we would hope out of that, you know, they can't say they didn't know.
It is actually, it is quite interesting that what you, how you describe it, because there is this sense that that problem is resolved, yet the odd human interest story does pop up, but it doesn't seem to land with people to highlight the fact that this isn't
but
isolated.
After that, Greg, you see when that human interest story on RT, the senators that we would have made contact with during their election when they were looking for our support, all of a sudden they started to write emails to us again, because, you know, it's about, while you done a fantastic job and Highland Radio does a great job keeping it in the news up here, ultimately it's not hitting the big guns in Dublin, and we need to get a mention more often, so that like Catherine Connolly was up, for instance, and I'm sure she sat with Charles when it's a day and listened to Charles talk. It wasn't until she was walking around my house and a lot of other houses that she realised,
She referenced that in the Dáil, that as much as she was aware of it, she wasn't aware of it properly until she saw it for herself. All right, listen, Ali, thank you for that. Look after yourself. That's Councillor Ali Farr. And just to remind you, that first responders meeting for the Mallan Parish next Monday at 8 p.m. in the Glengad Community Centre. All right, back with more after the news.